Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion.
Or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome to a special episode of GVN's Martin and Kathy's Coffee Binge, your home for conversations about some of the best shows on television. On today's show, we welcome talented actor Joel Stoffer. Joel played the character of Enoch for 3 seasons of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now here's your hosts, Martin and Kathy Sexton.
Welcome to the special edition of GVN's Martin and Kathy's Coffee Binge. I'm Kathy.
And I'm Martin.
And today we have the pleasure of speaking with talented actor Joel Stoffer.
Why don't you say that? It sounds like you're going to invite him up to your room.
Well, as I said. So, what you been doing lately?
Watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We did it again.
Yeah, it said, it's been 5 years since actually we did one of these things.
Right.
And the last one we did was when season 7 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was going on. We did the entire season.
Right.
And of course, which ended with the final episode. And we're closing in on the 5-year anniversary of the final episode.
That is just unbelievable to me.
Yep.
Honestly, I it's hard to believe.
We haven't aged a bit.
Apparently you are having some delusion over there.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I look good.
You do, baby. Actually, you don't change at all.
Not a whole lot. No. So anyway,
I did look at some of our last episodes, and yeah. I am gigantic.
No.
I'm gigantic still, but I was way more gigantic then.
Camera adds weight, you know.
Well, it must have added 100 pounds to my face.
Not even getting me to touch that with a 10.
I wasn't trying to. I was just telling you, holy cow. So
like I said, so we're coming close to the 5-year anniversary, and we were fortunate enough, we reached out to Joel to see if he would spend a little time with us, and he agreed to do that. We're thrilled to death to get a chance to talk to him because Joel has been showcasing his skills in both film and television, appearing in various roles, including parts in Indiana Jones and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, Stranger Things, and our personal favorite, as Enoch in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So we're going to discuss his early career and take a deep dive into his time on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So let's welcome Joel Stoffer to Martin and Kathy's Coffee Binge.
Hi, Joel.
How are you doing this afternoon, Joel?
Doing pretty well.
Excellent.
Helicopter flying overhead, which is so common here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
We have a 2.5-year-old flying around here. He's our grandson.
Oh.
That's a common occurrence around here.
your grandkid?
Yes.
Awesome. That's great.
So he lives with us. He runs the place. So
I have a 13-year-old who is he's my wife and our he's our child that we had a little bit later in life, but he pretty much runs the place.
Well, we want to thank you for your time, Joel. But and since this is our first opportunity to chat, I want to start with some of your creative beginnings. When did you first take an interest in performing, and whose work inspired that desire from you?
I kind of got thrown into it a little bit. I had done a show, like, you know, grammar school, I did a play, and you know, so I kind of had a little bit of a taste for it. But then when I was in seventh grade, for whatever reason, I was taking an acting class, because the school I went to had was big in theater, and there was a senior production happening, and they needed a younger kid to play this part that comes on. It's just a couple of scenes, and for some reason the drama teacher there, Sabelle Bender, who was amazing, she asked me to do it, and so I was like, okay, I'll sure. And so I jumped in and I just had a blast doing it. It was so much fun. And getting to hang out with the bigger kids, you know, the seniors. And it was kind of my first real dive in. And then I just grew up watching movies and you know, seeing movies that I probably shouldn't have seen at a young age. But we had the Z Channel, which was, you know, like one of the first home movie channels that was available. It was like in the early 70s, and they had every Saturday a new movie that would come out, and it was, you know, A Clockwork Orange and Mean Streets, and so like, you know, Scorsese and some of those other directors of the time were big influences on me, and as was De Niro and Malcolm McDowell, and it was that kind of got me really into it as I got a little bit older.
Throughout your career, you have guest starred on a variety of shows, including dramas, comedies, soap operas. But during the early stages of your career, did you have a preference for the type of roles you played, or was it just more important to just keep on working?
It was really just about, you know, keeping working. And I mean, I think I've always been drawn to more dramatic roles. And if there's, you know, any comedy that I have been drawn to, it's usually like, it's just through playing a character, you know, as honestly and truthfully as possible. And if the comedy comes out of that, then it comes out of that. But I've never really been as drawn to, like, you know, comedy for the sake of comedy and putting myself out there. I mean, as some people can do brilliantly, it was just not really how I saw myself. And so, more dramatic roles, more theatrical roles for sure. You know, at a certain point, it's like you take the work that comes your way, you know, as long, I mean, with certain limitations, but I mean, you know, there are some actors who just have gotten to work constantly all the time and, you know, things come their way always. And then I, you know, for whatever reason, it's been a little fewer and further between some of the roles for me and some of the opportunities. So I feel like I have to be, you know, discerning, but also like, oh, okay, I'm going to go do this because it's a job and it's an opportunity.
When you have a long stint in between things, what do to keep yourself occupied?
I have done a lot of different things over the years. Yeah, I took up carpentry. I have had a pretty successful career doing carpentry, which evolved into design work and designing that, like, kitchens and bathrooms is what I started out doing. Built-in, you know, shelving, that kind of thing. And then that evolved into designing home additions. I studied architecture. I didn't get an architecture degree, but I just through my own experience and the study that I did, I learned enough about how to design, you know, from the ground up. And so I've done home additions and guest houses and things like that. I have a contractor's license, and that is, it's been great, but it's also been challenging because I am an actor. That's my first love. And they're both careers that you need to throw yourself into fully in order to really make one or the other work. And so I've dabbled in the contractor side of stuff, but haven't really been able to throw myself into it fully because I would get acting work.
Right.
And I can't, so it was, you know, not easy to commit to that, which I was so glad, you know, because I
job take me.
exactly. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, again, some actors, acting is all they've ever gotten to do. And that's awesome. And of course that has been my goal. And, you know, you still got to pay the bills. So you take, right, the, you know, work that you can get, and Yeah.
Okay, so what I you know as a gamer from way back, I noticed that you appeared in Wing Commander Prophecy, which I've been a big fan of the Wing Commander series since the beginning. So what was that experience like?
That was close to 30 years ago now. It was
what's that? You're not supposed to be mentioning anything like how old we are.
Yeah, no. No, that was it was really fun because I got called into audition for that. And it just so happened that the director was Adam Foshko. And I went to grammar school with him. Oh, and wow. I walked into the room and I'm like, wait a minute.
I know you.
And it turned out, I mean, he didn't have to cast me, but I think that helped me get that role for sure. But I think it was also, it was the right call. But that was kind of one of the fun things that came out of that. And then getting to work with, all the talent on that one game. I mean, there were so many guys on that, I mean, Mark Hamill for one,
yeah.
Which was pretty cool. So, yeah.
Well, I can tell you this before we get into my favorite subject, which is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
so I thought maybe we would talk about Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Tell me how that happened.
That was awesome because it was my very first audition after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. The pandemic hit in March in 2020. And I got that. I thought, oh, well, I'm just not going to work for a year.
However long this is.
But I got in April, I got the audition for it. And, they had just shut down with production because they were in the middle of it.
Right.
And so they cast me based off my home, self tape. And I didn't get to go until October to Atlanta to shoot that. And that was, which was just nasty because, we're still quarantining and like they sent me a whole bag of gear that I had to wear. And then, the mask and everything, the face shield and all that stuff. And then you get there and you have to quarantine for like, nine, I think I quarantined for 9 days before I was allowed to shoot and do anything with that. So that part of it was strange. And interesting, but once we got to shooting, it was lovely and just, getting to work with, the brothers, and God, I'm forgetting.
It's okay. It's a lot
of anyway, they were great and, very, happy to have me and they, included me in the process a lot, which was really great and let me make some decisions about, how I saw the scene playing out. That was the first one in episode two. And, it just went on from there. But you just know a show when you get on a show and the rapport, even under the stress of COVID, when people are really working together and they're still have a sense of humor and they're respectful and that like that there's something special going on with a show like that and that was my experience with them.
Okay, so this is the part where we both try to tamp down our fanboy side with Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, you first appeared at the end of the fourth season and mentioned only as silhouetted man. Right. How did that opportunity come about? And when you filmed the thing at the end of season four, did you have an idea that what the opportunities were going to be for your character in the future?
No clue. I think they sort of wrote that bit with an idea of what they wanted to do. They were on the fence about whether or not they were going to be picked up for season five. And they thought, okay, well, if we get picked up, we might, have a storyline that includes this character that only known as Silhouetted Man, but they didn't really know exactly what it was going to be. Or if they did, they certainly weren't telling me. And as I came to know, once I got to know the writers, they really were like, as in the dark about it as I was. Obviously they honed it later on, but yeah, I came in for that last scene in that last episode, and I asked the director, Billy Gearhart. I was like, so what can you tell me about, you know, this character? Who am I? Who is this guy? What am I? You know, it was nothing because the part was offered to me. I didn't audition for that one. Oh. And it's always good when you get an offer. So I jumped on it, and they said there might be additional episodes. You don't know. But they didn't say anything. And his response to me was it was like zero.
Thank you.
Either he knew nothing about it or he could say nothing about it. And so I just kind of ran with it. And you can tell when you compare that, the way that I played that, to who Enoch eventually became. I mean, there's definitely a difference in the mannerisms and the gestures and the way Enoch eventually started to operate between, you know, from that episode to the, say, you know, somewhere in the middle of season five is when I finally started to evolve. And it was a great rapport that I built with the writers, because they liked what I was doing in season five. And so it kind of helped inform them and feed their, you know, imagination and write for the role.
Okay, so I mean, like I said, you know, you were at the end of season four and end of season five, and you're joining actors who have been together now for four seasons and developed relationships and such. Did you have any apprehension as the new guy entering their club? And did the cast make you feel welcome?
Yeah, definitely had apprehensions, and they were awesome from the get-go. I mean, they welcomed me right away, and they what I was describing on Stranger Things. I mean, they had a real rapport, and they were having fun, and you know, you sensed that as long as there was that mutual respect and professionalism happening, then it was just about having fun and playing and being creative, and that world really opened up for me. Getting to work with those guys, there was never a sense of like, you know, we're series regulars and you're not, you know, I mean, that's just not how a successful show really works, you know? So they were very welcoming.
Okay. Right. Okay, so like when season five started and they kind of revealed your alien nature, starting with the Talking Heads song, This Must Be the Place. And of course, now every time we hear that, we think of you. Yes. And I understand you have a fondness for the song yourself.
Oh, so much. So when I first got that script, they still hadn't told me anything about my character. Like, really, they were just like, okay, we want you to do this episode. Here's the script. They sent the email to me, and I didn't know who my character was. I didn't have a name, and I'm reading this opening scene, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is really cool. And the character's name originally in that episode was Silas. They changed it like shortly after that to Enoch, of course, but so it was reading as Silas, and I'm like, oh, who's this character, Silas? Because what a great opening and that's one of my all-time favorite songs. Talking Heads are actually pretty much my all-time favorite band. And I, you know, grew up listening to that. And so I have a whole history with that song. And then I'm like halfway through the scene, and I'm like, I think this is me. I get to play this. I get to do this. It was really fun. It was great.
I loved it. That was my favorite. My favorite introduction. You know, they had a lot of good music in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but yeah. That was like, I went, oh my god, this is awesome.
Okay, so like I said, it started season five, and then it come by episode five of that season, Fitz goes looking for you, of course, basically trying to question exactly why he was the only one still there, and which begins the beautiful friendship between Fitz and Enoch. What was it like working with Ian? And because you appear to have great chemistry together.
It was fantastic. He's awesome. We became buddies.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Stephen at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Stephen.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
And I mean, you know, we had there was just enough of complete opposites in so many ways,
right?
But also had enough similarities in terms of our pursuit of knowledge and
right.
You know, that whole side of it. It was really just, it was so easy to play with that and against each other in that way, to find the humor. And then the sort of this pathetic need to understand humans that Enoch starts to have more and more. By season six, you know, he's discovering this bond that with Fitz that he, you know, didn't really realize is there. And you know, it was getting to play that with Ian was great, because he was pushing back just enough, and then, you know, letting me in a little bit at a time. And, you know, it was great. It's a lot of fun. I think I hope that the humor really came across that way.
It was great. It was awesome.
Okay, so, you know, by episode 10, Past Life, you apparently sacrifice yourself. Well, actually, you do sacrifice yourself, and which is your character's first death. Did you know at that time they were going to be bringing you back again, or did you think that was it?
They came and said to me, it was great. The producers came to me in my trailer and like genuinely like sat down, and they just said, hey, you know, we want you to know that we're going to, you know, Enoch is going to have a death scene, and this is going to be the end of Enoch. And, you know, we just want to say we were really happy to have you. And it was a very heartfelt thing to have them, you know, visit me and say that. Because normally, like, you know, they just like, they write you out.
Get and then say bye.
But that was, you know, sort of the nature of that, of the show and the way that they worked. And so, but as they said that to me, they also said, you never know what might happen. And that was like the most that they would say about that in terms of like whether or not I could come back. And then sure enough, it was shortly after we did that last episode for Enoch, and after we stopped that, you know, shooting that season, and they got to writing season six, and they knew exactly how they wanted to reintroduce Enoch, then I got a call that they were going to have Enoch back. So I was thrilled, of course. And then with season seven, like, I knew early on that I was going to be coming back, that they had a whole path mapped out for Enoch. So
okay, so in season six, as you were talking about, and Enoch got a chance to do all kinds of things, gambling, bluffing, and I gotta tell you, one of our favorite scenes was when they decommissioned you and you were basically lamenting the fact that they decommissioned you. It was hilarious, though. I'm not so much for Daisy Piper and Davis later on, who wanted to like chuck you out the plane.
Decommissioned, hunted. I have become a cautionary tale used to steer children away from a life of crime and excess.
Would it be rude to turn him off? His constant complaining is giving me a headache.
Yeah, well, you are the puffhead who got high and shot up our super threatening fuse box, so.
Never mind. Sorry, I was wrong. The source of the headache is Piper. Definitely Piper.
Okay, Enoch, we made a lot of noise on Kitson, and we only have enough fuel for one more jump left, so we can't hang around up here.
Yeah, we need to plot a course. Who was that bounty hunter, and where would he have taken Fitz?
Poor Fitz. Though now I walk alone, I will never forget my one and only friend.
Your only friend? But you have us.
When last we met, I forcibly abducted your team and sent you all into a dystopian future.
Yeah, maybe not the best start, but in the end, you really came through.
I did.
In the future, you sacrificed yourself for us. Without you, we never would have been able to get home and save Earth from destruction.
The human race has survived its extinction level event.
And it was all because of you.
So what was that like, adding that dimension to the character?
So much fun. I mean, they, you know, that was, I think what kept that, you know, what kept that character alive is because clearly it could have easily been a very one-dimensional character. I mean, the Chronicom, who is just, you know, he has a mission and he's devoid of emotion and he's, you know, he just like, that's his whole thing. But to have Enoch start to struggle with like somehow having emotion or being sad that he doesn't get to have emotion or, you know, all of that, and introducing that as part of, I love that they were willing to take the time, you know, because when you're writing for a show, there's so many plot lines and so many series regular characters that you have to write for. And they were willing to do that for this guy, for Enoch, and make it a more, relatable and beloved character. And so getting to play that was, you know, all the more enjoyable, especially just working, you know, I was working with Jesse Bojko on that and the writers, you know, on that, Craig Titley, they were willing to let me play and like just say, well, you know, how do you think we can show this without getting, you know, without making it too human, but still, you know, staying in the world of yeah, staying in the world of Chronicom, yeah. But crossing that line a little bit, and you know, so it was about finding that balance, and a lot of that scene just unfolded as it did. I mean, in that moment, it wasn't something we like planned in advance. It's just sort of you discover those moments as you play, you know.
Okay, so, and you mentioned it, and then season 7, you get to do something that I imagine would be a wish list for lots of people, and that's, you got a chance to fight Agent May. Did you enjoy that opportunity, and how did you prepare for that when you got the script for that particular scene?
I mean, it was just so fun. I am not a martial artist. I don't have, you know, a lot of experience with that, whereas Ming-Na Wen does, and she was able to teach me quite a bit. And I had, of course, a stunt double for that. And I tried to do as much as I could, but I just, you know, I can't kick as high as I used to be able to. So they needed somebody else to do some of that stuff. But just getting to, you know, have that day. I mean, that took a long time to rehearse that and shoot that and play with Ming in that way. And even though we're, you know, comrades, you know, then to all of a sudden be adversaries, it's like we don't want to hurt each other, but we're still going to duke it out almost to the death. I mean, right. It's kind of insane, but it was that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Getting to do stunts like that, I always love to do, you know.
Excellent. Okay, now, you know, speaking of, you know, like working with the stunt team or whatever, not long after the show ended, I had a chance to talk to Mark Kopak, who is, of course, the show's visual effects supervisor.
Awesome. Yeah.
And one of the, of course, one of the series' many strengths is the special effects, which, in our opinion, rival that of the ones you see on film with a television budget.
Yeah.
But during that discussion, he mentioned that whenever he prepared a member of the cast for a shot, you know, like Chloe or Ming or you, that he would tell them the more foolish they felt when they were doing it, the better the final shot would turn out. Did you find that to be true?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think that's always true in a way. Like, you know, if you can, if you get to that place where you don't really know what you're doing, you're just kind of in the moment and flying with it and, you know, letting inhibitions go. I mean, that's, you know, oftentimes means that you are being foolish and looking foolish and acting foolish, but that's sometimes the best stuff. That's where, like, the most, you know, entertaining stuff happens, I think. So yeah, I think that's very true.
All right. Okay. So, you know, speaking of combat, many of our favorite scenes in season 7 was when, I hope I'm not spoiling this for people by now, they should have watched this thing, was the team trying to remove Gemma's memory inhibitor. And you were programmed by Gemma to stop them. And because of the time loop in that episode, they got to face you over and over again with basically comedic bad results. And unfortunately, poor Deke, no one was sad when he died. Was that as fun a segment to film as it looked?
It was. I have great memories of, you know, everything we shot on that show, but absolutely that episode was the sort of pièce de résistance, if I can say, because, you know, Drew Greenberg wrote such a wonderful episode and such a great send-off for Enoch. That monologue when I got the script and then we got to do it at the table read, and he knew how to write for Enoch, and again they were willing to like give 5 pages of time. Screen time to a character that's not a series regular, and that's meant so much to me. And so it was just a pleasure to take that on, and it was so beautifully written, and, like, you know, getting to work with Clark and Chloe, and I mean it was kind of a dream ending for my run on that show.
Does it hurt?
It does, a bit. But it's not the physical pain that troubles me. I am acutely aware that in my thousands of years observing humans, I never used to feel lonely. I have been alone many times. To be candid, I preferred it. But it wasn't until I met this particular team of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that being alone meant feeling lonely, and I don't care for it, so I am feeling, as you might expect, some anxiety now.
You don't have to. You're not alone. Daisy and I will stay with you right up to the end.
That is very kind of you. But it's that last part, isn't it? You can stay with me up to the end, but you can't come with me at the end. I will have to leave you. And I will have to do that alone. And I can't help wondering, when that happens, will I feel lonely?
I mean, no, this was the episode that was directed by Elizabeth Hinstridge, correct?
Yes.
Yes. I thought she did a fabulous job.
Episode to try to put together, and she mastered it. She
it
did.
Was real. It was, I just thinking about it right now, I want to cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was that scene, and when Fitz died, both of those scenes for me were like, we did a podcast right after that, and I couldn't even keep it together for either one of those. I was like, what?
No, because you get so emotionally attached to the characters. And I did it because I had not seen the series. You know, I had auditioned for it a couple of times and I'd watched a couple episodes here and there before I got Enoch. And but when I got Enoch, I was like, I'm going to watch the whole thing. And I watched, and like, I was drawn in. It was, the show was so strong, you know, and more so than I thought I expected to, you know, and yeah, when in that scene, when Fitz dies, that's in season three or four. When does he die?
He dies in season four.
When he gets the thing, you know, through his
right,
you know, when the roof caves in on him, but. That was a really, I mean, Ian played that so beautifully. I mean, it was so credible. And I mean, that's, you know, the acting in that show is so great. But, and he just, you know, makes you, you know, really believe the circumstances again, and you are drawn in. And yeah, you can, it's a very emotional moment.
Yeah, it is.
Of course, I've always felt like the actors on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. never got the credit they deserved for their performances they did. I thought there should have been a whole lot more Emmys being handed out to the cast, because they were awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I just, it's, for whatever reason, I mean, it had a pretty sizable following, but a very loyal following. I wish it had gotten to more people somehow. I think it's worthy of it, you know what I mean? I think it's a really such a strong show, and maybe it'll have, you know, like Star Trek, maybe it'll have an afterlife that'll go on.
It's funny you said that, because Kathy was asking me before we got on the air, saying, so are they talking about like making a movie or something like that? So, well, I haven't really heard anything about it.
More of it.
As I said when I had first wrote you that, you know, you're approaching the 5-year anniversary of the final episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is on August 12th. Thinking back on your whole experience, what would you say was the most memorable thing or a story that maybe best symbolizes your time on the show?
Boy, I mean, you know, all of them. I had a great connection with, you know, with all the cast, and I would say probably the two scenes that you pointed out, you know, in I think it's 603, season 6, episode 3, and then 709. Those are probably the more memorable experiences I have had on that show. Just getting to play that stuff. I mean, I can't recall necessarily if there were any, like, you know, behind the scenes kinds of stories that I can point to. There were lots of them, but not ones that are coming to mind right now. I mean, I would say, because the memories that I have are primarily ones on set and working and getting to play around with the script and, you know, working with directors and the actors and being Enoch. I mean, that's really, can't think of any one thing other than those two.
Well, we want to thank you so much, Joel, for taking the time to talk to us and sharing your memories about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But before I let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about any new projects you might have upcoming and where fans might be able to follow you on social media and the web.
Well, I'm on Instagram. I don't do a whole lot of social media. There's one thing that I'm not allowed to talk about. that's coming up in 2026. We shot that last year. That's all I can say about that. I mean, there's a podcast right now called The Big Fix with John Hamm. I had a role on that that just got released a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, there's going to be more stuff coming soon, hopefully.
Yes, actually, I just listened to that today while I was at work. And I had someone ask me, play the coroner and ask me who that was. I would never be able to tell them that was you.
Yeah.
Well, we again, we thank you very much for your time, Joe. And we hopefully maybe get a chance to talk to you again in the future.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you guys asking. And I appreciate you guys celebrating the fifth anniversary. That was another thing that kind of drew me to you guys was I like to revisit, you know, that work. So I'm always happy to do it.
Yeah, all right. We love it so much. And we'll just keep watching it over and over and over.
All right. Thank you, Joel.
Thank you. Thanks for
having me. It's been our pleasure to present to you GVN's Martin and Kathy's Coffee Binge. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of GVN's Martin and Kathy's Coffee Binge. GVN's Martin and Kathy's Coffee Binge is a production of Geek Vibes Nation.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge, and now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.